comes those to Curry. Curry gets it ahead to Gretzky. Gretzky going in. Sutter trying to get back. Gretzky with a shot. He scores!
They're going to try here. Rushing to center and down the wing. It is Marshall! Scores! Marshall! Scores!
Moving on. Rendemore at the far side. That's broken. Here's a break. It is Pisani. Scores! A shorthanded goal for Pisani.
Here comes Connor McDavid, shifting right by Riley, right in. What a goal! My goodness, what a goal by Connor McDavid!
Hey, hey, welcome to the Thursday edition of the Locked On Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260 and the Two Guys in a Goalie Podcast. You want to connect with me, hit me up on Twitter at Hernan the Man, at Locked On Oilers, and give us a follow at Locked On Pods. On today's podcast, I'll be joined by Laura Saba, the co-host on the Locked On Canadiens podcast, as of course, the Montreal Canadiens have been very busy this offseason, so we're going to get into a nice conversation on all their signings, trades and all the news from Montreal. Always a hot spot and one of the, if not the best, Locked On NHL podcast going right now. So excited to have Laura Saba on. You can connect with Laura on Twitter at The Active Stick. So Laura's coming up in minutes from now. Remember to download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. And while you're there, leave us a great review. Just a quick reminder, Andrew Peard from the Edmonton Oil Kings broadcast team joined me on yesterday's podcast, and the day before we chatted with Josh Wegman from The Scores. We went around the NHL and touched on all the signings and trades from the long weekend in the NHL. We'll get to the news of the day in the third segment, as I'm pleased now to be joined by Laura Saba, co-host on the Locked On Canadiens podcast. You can connect with Laura on Twitter at The Active Stick. Laura, thank you so much for taking the time to join me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. I mean, it's Montreal's been very, very busy this offseason. Some excellent moves. I want to start with this one, though. You know, it was an interesting 24 hours as we went from talks have broken off with Brendan Gallagher to yesterday it being announced that there was a six-year deal in place worth 6.5 per year. Now, Gallagher's that type of player every team wants. Just your thoughts on the deal, that it was kind of a whirlwind in those 24 hours, right?
Yeah, I want to thank you so much for having me on to talk about this, because it is kind of a big story, especially in this market. What I didn't realize would happen was how much other markets would really run with the story, because what we kind of deduced happened is that maybe Mark Bergevin got a little bit busy and talks with Brendan Gallagher sort of fell down his to-do list, and his agent wanted to maximize the contract that he was going to get as well as get it done as soon as possible. So what I'm assuming is, you know, there are probably some words leaked, because I don't think that whoever reported on this story, you know, we're talking about big name insiders like Pierre LeBrun and Elliot Friedman. I don't think that they would report bad information. Their information obviously came from somewhere, but the Canadians are notoriously tight-lipped. So what I think happened was, you know, they just needed a nudge to put Brendan Gallagher back on the priority list. And I think all along, he wanted a Chris Kreider-like contract. Like, that's who he sees himself as a comparable to. So it's entirely possible that maybe the Canadians offered him an equal or equivalent contract to Josh Anderson, who they also recently signed. Maybe he didn't want that. He wanted a little more. And he is a little bit more valuable to the Canadians than Josh Anderson will be, I think, over time. I think that's how it's going to play out. So it seems fair. And the Canadians got him still at a really reasonable price. They've locked him up for 6 years for, it's about 6.5 million average per, and the deal is loaded up in the middle. So really, I think that this worked out really well for both sides, but if Brendan Gallagher is able to live up to the expectations, then this is going to come in at a very economically efficient contract for the Montreal Canadiens.
Just to stay with Brendan Gallagher, I mean, he plays a physical game. I mean, we've all watched him play. He goes to the dirty areas, but he's durable. But now this contract doesn't kick in till the following season. Is there any concern about his durability and the length of this contract?
Honestly, anytime a player plays that physically, I think that that is a big concern, but Brendan Gallagher in the past has proved that he is, like, he has been injured in the past. He has been out of the lineup in the past, and he does the work to get better. I will go on the record of saying I'm not very fond of the fact that he played with an injury in that series against Philadelphia. Like, I don't like that he did that, but it's kind of a hockey player mentality.
Yeah.
But I do think, he's definitely the kind of person that's going to rehab and come back. And I think it's kind of like you said, there is concern because the term is pretty long. He is getting a little bit older, but that's the market now. And I think that the Canadians, like any team who would have wanted Brendan Gallagher, would have had to make that sacrifice. They would have had to have that term and that dollar amount in order to get him. And I do think that on the open market, it's entirely possible that he would have gotten a little bit more than he took from the Canadians as well.
Joined by Laura Saba, co-host on the Locked On Canadians podcast. That wasn't the only news on Wednesday, as they also signed Jake Allen to a two-year deal. I really like Jake Allen. I think he's going to be a nice fit there behind Carey Price. He's going to give Carey Price some more nights off. And this team looks like right now they're going to be a playoff team. But do you feel like, was there a rush to sign Jake Allen? I was kind of a little thrown off. I thought they'd keep him for a year and then see after next year, because there's so much up in the air, right, for next season. Were you a little surprised that they extended him this quick?
I think all of us were. I think as a fan base and media, everybody was kind of scratching their heads because it didn't seem like something that necessarily needed to be done right away. I think Jake Allen is a very solid backup goaltender. Like, I think he's going to give the Canadians what they need, which is rest for Carey Price next year. Like, that's why, as you said, they are looking like a playoff team next year. There are some theories out there saying maybe the Canadians don't really have faith that Caden Primo is ready to make the jump. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a insurance for the Seattle expansion.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, apparently all they have to do is qualify Michael McNiven next year, and that's going to be enough. So really, we don't really know what they're thinking, but it's also possible that they think that Jake Allen is going to have a really good year and they don't want to be stuck at the end of it needing to pay more than like under $3 million for their backup. I think what's going to happen is what they're trying to bank against is Jake Allen having another really solid year and then coming back and saying, well, you know what? I should make $5 million. So I like this deal for the Canadians. I just don't think they necessarily needed it is my position on this.
Yeah, and he takes a cut, obviously, for the next for the two seasons there. And it's one of the better duos now in the NHL between the pipes. Now, one last one here on this segment, Laura. You know, Tyler Toffoli, it seems like the Vancouver was never really in serious conversations with him. But for me, this is, if not the best, one of the best free agent signings this offseason. I mean, for 4 years, only 28 years old, this guy can score goals, and you got him at 4.25. Is this going down in Montreal the same as, I think, all around the NHL circles as one of the better deals in free agency?
Yeah, I think the fan base was really excited about this, especially since there were a lot of people scratching their heads after the Josh Anderson contract, which to me is a little bit long and a little bit dear. But at the same time, the Toffoli signing came in at really, really smart money, I think. And 4 years is great. And he's going to be one of those people that's going to fit in really well with Claude Julien's system, I think. So I feel like Tyler Toffoli in this situation is going to be a steal. Like, that's how it's going to play out, assuming he doesn't get injured, assuming the Canadians don't have, you know, serious issues next year. I feel like he's going to have a really good year. He's going to be good for the upper 40s in points. On our podcast, we predicted 45 to 50 points at the very least if they play a full season. And I think that what he brings to the team, which is that, like, that dynamic playmaking, like that sort of the offensive creativity, is something that is one of the Canadian's strong suits. So what they're trying to do in the absence of an elite forward, you know, that's good for whatever 40 goals a year, what they're trying to do is what Scott on our podcast calls death by 1,000 paper cuts. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot of shot totals, and eventually that's going to translate to a lot of goals. And that's, I think this was a steal. Honestly, we were so pleased with this deal.
Hey, Laura, that saying by your co-host, I think Peter Chiarelli used it here when he was the GM with the Edmonton Oilers. So
I don't know if that's a good
You brought sign. Back some dark memories there. Yeah. coming up, more with Laura Saba, the co-host on the Locked On Canadiens podcast here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody. It does not require membership or account login. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast, I'm your host, Hernan Salas. Of course, you can connect with me at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers on Twitter, as I'm joined by Laura Saba, the co-host on the popular Locked On Canadiens podcast. Laura, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Mark Bergeron's taken a lot of heat in past seasons for his moves and signings and all that, but this one's got to be one of his better off seasons, if not his best. What grade would you give Mark Bergeron so far in free? Well, it almost seems like they're done. They don't have a lot of cap space, but man, has he put in some work. So what grade would you give him?
I would absolutely give him a B+. The reason that I'm not giving him an A is that I still have a couple question marks about Josh Anderson and Joel Edmondson and how that's going to play out in Montreal. But I think, you know, getting Brendan Gallagher locked down long-term for a really good deal and Tyler Toffoli, that was fantastic. Trading for a reliable, and that's such an important word in this market, a reliable backup for Carey Price. I think that in itself is going to pay off in dividends. So I feel like it's really solid. And the B plus that I'm giving, it's not an A. It's not because, you know, he didn't land Alex Pietrangelo or yeah. Taylor Hall, which was a long shot. It's really just, I have question marks about the length and the amount of money for Joel Edmondson and Josh Anderson. And I'm very happy to be proven wrong next year. I'm very excited for these players to show what they've got. And I'm really, really hoping I get proven wrong. And maybe, you know, after the next season, I'll come back and be like, I was wrong about that. It was an A.
And I think a B plus is fair. I think everybody kind of looked at that Anderson contract and said, ooh, that's a little long. You know, he's going to obviously pay off in the first 3-4 years. Now the Habs do have some young players as well. Two I want to talk about in Jesperi Kotkaniemi and Nick Suzuki, who both look very good in the return to play in the bubble playoffs and all that. Just what's the next step for these two players? I know Jesperi struggled a bit during the season, but him and Suzuki, like I mentioned, were pretty good in the playoffs.
I think so. And I think, you know what, the issue is that Nick Suzuki now has had such a great rookie year that he's got a lot to live up to. And I feel like, you know, he might have some struggles in his sophomore season. With Jesperi Kotkaniemi, I think that's a little bit easier to talk about because he did go through that struggle. He was sent down to the AHL and, you know, he ended up getting an injury. And then in the pause, he did a lot of work to get back to where the Canadians wanted him to be. They told him he needed to work on his skating. He worked really hard on that. They told him that he needed to work on his conditioning and he worked really hard on that. He came back looking huge, but also very aggressive on the forecheck. It seemed like all of a sudden he knew what he was supposed to do, and that was something that was missing throughout the season. I feel like he really took what they asked of him to heart. And so for Kotkaniemi now, I feel like maybe he was a bit rushed and then he had his struggles. And next season, he's just going to be a really good, aggressive forechecking center, which is what we want. With Nick Suzuki, I'm really hopeful that his game doesn't fall back and he doesn't struggle. But he set the bar so high this year. He made the team right out of camp. You know, and then, you know, within game 10 or 20, everybody was talking about how phenomenal he was. And every time we have someone on the podcast, like they say themselves, they're like, can we talk about Nick Suzuki? I love this guy. And we do kind of bully people into saying nice things about him. But really, there's so like we'll put people on the spot and be like, what do you think of Nick Suzuki? And, you know, people will say like, this kid is so creative. He sees the play 3-4 plays ahead. He knows where to be. He knows where everyone else is going to be. Just the way that he sees the ice is so holistic. I think that, you know, he might struggle maybe physically. He might have some mistakes. Maybe he's going to have some growing pains. I think that that's absolutely, especially as other teams start to game plan for him when they're coming up against the Canadians. But I do think that that vision and that creativity does not go away. So what essentially is going to happen is my prediction. He's going to struggle a little bit, find a way to get around being coached against. And I think that the Canadians are going to have their work cut out for them when those two contracts come up.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be interesting times for sure. What can you tell us? Let's move to the back end of the Montreal Canadiens. What can you tell us about Alexander Romanov?
We are so excited about Alexander Romanov. And so we're not entirely sure what to expect because he was in the KHL and as kind of as a Habs community. Like, the KHL is not as heavily scouted as maybe like the Swedish leagues are and all of that. So, but what we do know is that he's going to bring like offensive, like dynamic offensive ability to the blue line. And I think that, you know, the spot that like the Canadians are always talking about how they need like left defense because they're kind of stacked up on the right and then they need like an LD, right? And so all year long, we're like, if Romanov makes it, that's where he'll slide into the lineup. But that kind of remains to be seen. What we do know though, is that if he's not going to be playing in the NHL, like there's an out clause in his contract that he can go back to the KHL. So we know he's likely not going to start the season in the minors. I think it's safe to say that the job is his out of camp. But you know, he seems like a player who's going to be very smart and exciting and fun to watch. I think that what he's going to do is he's going to make up for Shea Weber having slowed down quite a bit. I think that's what the Canadians are hoping for.
Yeah, one last one here for you. Jeff Petrie here. Edmonton Oilers fans are, we didn't make the trade, but we regret the Jeff Petrie trade. You know, they gave up on him when he was still fairly young, and he's turned out to be one hell of a defenseman, and he's a leader there. He's, you know, he plays behind Shea Weber as their number two. Got a nice extension also this offseason. Just what does he mean to that team there? And he signed up for another, 5 years now?
Yep. Well, he had 1 year remaining, so we've got him for 6 years, which is really exciting. And so, as you said, like, he's the number two in Montreal, but that's really just a formality because Shea Weber struggled out of the gate this year. He was still rehabbing from that injury from last year. And Jeff Petrie more than made up for it. He became the team's most important defender in a lot of situations. And normally when you have your number one defenseman, which is Shea Weber, if your number one defenseman is struggling, you know that team is going to have a really bad night. But what the Canadians have is when you have your number one defenseman who is struggling, that Jeff Petrie does the stepping up, and he does that. He does the quarterbacking on the power play. He's very smart offensively and defensively. I think people in Montreal, I feel like, didn't appreciate him as much as they should have because every time he makes a mistake, it's so visible. But when you think about it, and you said yourself, you know, Edmonton would love to have a guy like that on the Oilers team. I think that's true. Like, that's the kind of player that you really, really need to sort of keep your defense stable, but also be part of your transition game, because for whatever Shea Weber's lacking, he's gotten a bit older, he's not as fast as before and all of that stuff. Like, Jeff Petrie more than makes up for it. And so I feel like, and we've written about this, we've talked about this, is he the Canadiens' most important defender? Well, if you look at the contracts and on paper and prestige and all of that, no, that's Shea Weber. But if you look at what's really going on, Jeff Petrie is the most important defender on the Montreal Canadiens right now.
Very lucky to have him down there. You know what, Laura, it's been great having you on. I mean, great insight. Like, the Canadians definitely improved their top six. And then you have two very nice, you have one of the best goalies in the league. And then Jake Allen, one of the better backups. So I think Mark Bergevin and the B+ you gave him is right on cue. And they've done some good work this offseason. Want to thank you so much. Great insight into the Montreal Canadiens. And I look forward to having you on in the near future.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Bill, go make you the best you at whatever you do, whether it's a mental or physical wall. Break through it with Go Every Day. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. 3 delicious flavors to choose from: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Big shout out to Laura Sabaco, host co-host on the Locked On Canadiens podcast. What a great conversation. Some great insight there into all the moves they made. They're young players. And of course, former Edmonton Oilers Jeff Petrie, who, if we could take him back, we will. He's just an excellent player there for them. He's a veteran now. He's one of their top defensemen and got a nice deal there as well. As far as the Edmonton Oilers go, no news to report. I mean, it looks like Clefbaum will be heading to the LTIR eventually. All signs are pointing to that, so they will have some money to spend there. Where do they spend it? Maybe we'll go with that for tomorrow's podcast. You can still bring in a winger. You can still bring in another defenseman, maybe for that 6-7 slot, so that way you don't have to force Bouchard in there. You still have to sign Ethan Bear. All the big names left out there, get those out of your head, because that's not going to happen. let's say a Mike Hoffman, a Michael Granlund, Dadonov. Like, it's just not realistic at this point. But again, there's another list that includes players like, you know, the Anthony Duclairs, Eric Halla, which would be fantastic. I still think he might be a little bit pricey. But what about a Connor Sheary? What about an Alex Galchenyuk, who I can't see getting a raise? He's kind of, you know, lost his way in the NHL. He's bouncing around team to team, can't really find a home. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, as we get closer to knowing if there's a season next year, when it's going to start and all that, I think we'll get more information on the Oilers' top defenseman and Oscar Clefbaum. And with that money, the Oilers will use it. I mean, again, you're going to sign Ethan Bear. He's not going anywhere. And secondly, you're probably going to bring in another depth forward. But just looking at the depth chart, like, I mean, you would like one to kind of maybe an upgrade to play with McDavid. But those are going to cost you a pretty penny. So I don't see that happening. And right now, like, do you want Willie Lagesson to be your seventh? Or do you want to bring in someone that can kind of spell off a Caleb Jones of struggling, or a Chris Russell, or if you run into injuries, right? So, I mean, it's not ideal to have Evan Bouchard up here to be your seventh. That's not going to happen. They'd rather him playing top minutes in the A. And then Willie Lagesson, he's okay. I mean, in spot duty, limited minutes, but is that someone you want? So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Goaltending, they're not going to do anything there. Get that out of your head, Oiler fan. It is going to be Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen going into next season. Maybe tomorrow we'll get some local media involved, and we'll talk about that, because it's definitely intriguing to see what the Oilers do. And now we're assuming with Clefbaum's LTIR money. Not a lot of news around the NHL today, as Joe Thornton is expected to play this weekend with HC Davos after signing a contract with the Swiss club. That's according to TSN hockey insider Pierre LeBrun. Yesterday we kind of touched on it with Andrew Peard about Toronto has reached out. Would he be a good fit there? I don't like the fit there. I mean, I don't think he hurts your team. I just don't think that's what Toronto needs at this time. And that's all to report as I record this podcast on Thursday morning. Again, we talked with Laura about the Gallagher and Jake Allen. And were you surprised? I mean, was it something that, you know, Gallagher in 24 hours went from talks for breaking off to signing a long-term contract? And then Jake Allen, was there a rush there? Was there a need to sign him this quick? So again, great insight by Laura to break down everything involving the Montreal Canadiens. So that's our question today. And hit me up on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. What grade would you give Mark Bergeron? He's taken a lot of heat over the years for his moves and all that, but I think this is one of his better off seasons. I mean, Laura made a good point. Josh Anderson, a little long in the tooth there with that deal. And, you know, Laura gave him a B+. Do you agree with her? Would you go higher? Would you go lower? Let me know. That's our question of the day here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. All right. Producer Carlos is flashing the red light. That means it's time to wrap up this edition of the Locked On Oilers podcast. Reminder to download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. You can connect with me. Let me know what you think of the content, what you like to see going forward. So hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan at Locked On Oilers. Thank you for tuning in. Your downloads are always appreciated. Keep those coming. I'm Hernan the Man talking Los Petroleros. We'll chat with you on Friday. Enjoy the rest of your day.